Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. You want to know what's a shady business? Truffles. Sure, the word sounds innocent, truffle, and it sounds delicious. But the criminal elements surrounding the stealing and the fraudulent sales of this delicacy, they're intense. As my next guest writes, truffles are, quote, revered as one of the finest, scarcest, and most valuable ingredients in fine dining. But as we'll soon find out, the lengths to which people will go to get their hands on the coveted fungi are often criminal. If this sounds like a storyline for a Netflix show, I mean, it could be. Listen to the trailer for the book.
The saboteurs work quickly, usually on the unfamiliar cars parked in dirt tracks or meadows next to the forest. They slash tires, they dent doors and hoods, they shatter windows. Sometimes they open gas caps, stuff rags inside, and light the fringes on fire. They're gone by the time a hunter smells the smoke and the scent of burning plastic and upholstery, by the time he calls his dogs back and sees flames through gaps in the trees. The saboteurs are locals. The forest and the truffles buried beneath it belong to them, they reason. This will teach them, they think. This is where their grandfathers first showed them how to truffle hunt. This is where their fathers disappeared on foggy mornings, carrying their satchels. These outsiders, from other villages and even other regions, don't belong. They have not worked their whole lives mastering the paths taken through these woods. They know nothing. The saboteurs work to protect memories of a quiet, untouched forest. They work to protect the money they earn each season. They work, maybe, just to prove to themselves what they are capable of.
Juicy, right? The book is called The Truffle Underground, a tale of mystery, mayhem, and manipulation in the shadowy market of the world's most expensive fungus. It was written by my next guest, Ryan Jacobs. So, Ryan, how did you become interested in this? How did you find out about all this criminality surrounding truffles?
Yeah, it's a very weird story because it started with another fungus. It started with porcini mushrooms. There was these guys in Germany who basically ran over a forestry guard in the German forest. And so I called up this guy in the United Kingdom and I said, hey, does this sound like something that's normal in the porcini trade? And he said, no, that's an absolute outlier. But if you really want a crime story, you should take a look at the truffle business. And as soon as I did, it kind of like dropped me down this years-long rabbit hole.
So what is at the core of the criminality? Is it the fact that they're scarce? Is it that they're so expensive? Is it that this is unregulated in some ways?
Yeah. So basically, we don't really know how to cultivate them at a commercial scale. So basically, like every truffle that you get in Manhattan is foraged for the most part. And then there are a certain percentage of them that are cultivated in France, but we don't know how to do it in a way that is like strawberries or another piece of produce, because we don't really understand the mechanics of like how they grow in symbiosis on the roots of trees. And so to like actually make them grow is sort of left up to sort of mystery and experimentation.
So just so people understand the kind of money we're talking about, mm-hmm. Explain how expensive truffles are.
So a white truffle, which is like the sort of crown jewel of the marketplace, is 6,000 euro per kilo. So that's about $4,000 a pound. An expensive restaurant, you might pay $200 just for like a few shavings of a single truffle. And then the black winter truffle, which is also the, one of the most prized, you're talking 500, 600, 1,000 euro per kilo.
Wow.
and a similar kind of price at a nice Michelin star restaurant.
So it can't really be replicated. That's part of the issue.
Yeah, and the seasons are really short It's just during the autumn and winter, and it's basically like there's no way to determine how many there are going to be in this season. It depends on weather patterns, precipitation, and there's actually less of them than there have ever been because of climate change. Actually, scientists think that there are fewer truffles growing because of declining summer precipitation, because of warmer temperatures. And they only grow in basically a very few slices of the earth. So it's basically Italy, France, and a few other places in the Mediterranean.
In the book, the word paranoia and paranoid come up again and again, that the farmers are super paranoid. Do they have a reason to be?
Yeah, they do. So in southeastern France, the thefts are regular. These are a prize commodity. People know that they can make money by stealing truffles and then selling them to a middleman who doesn't really care about the provenance of where they came from. So, for example, there is a company named Plantain who, I think it was in 2005, a truck blasted through one of its warehouse walls. I think it was like, they don't actually know the number of thieves, but they took over 400,000 euros worth of truffle product. Wow. From that company.
Wow. The name of the book is The Truffle Underground. My guest is Ryan Jacobs. It sounds romantic and crazy, and then it starts to get really violent. So yeah. You write about violence against humans and violence against animals. This is a really hard chapter to read because pigs don't get truffles anymore because they were eating them, right?
Right, exactly.
So they use dogs, right?
Pigs have been phased out, and now dogs are the sort of staple of the truffle industry. You need a dog to find a truffle. Even if you're farming a truffle, you still need a dog to go out into your grove and actually find them, because they're found by scent. They grow underneath the ground. But a lot of the dogs, especially in Italy, are being poisoned. They first were using sponges. They were hiding them in like pieces of meat, so it kind of made the dog feel full, and then they would die by starvation. Then they moved to glass and meatballs, which obviously awful. Tears up the insides. And now they're using strychnine, which is a colorless, odorless sort of toxin that is used to remove gophers and that. And that has taken many dogs' lives as well, as many as 100 in a single season in a single city.
Why isn't there a crackdown on this? Where are the authorities on this?
I think that's a really great question. There's not much regulation, and the authorities, I think, you know, when you're talking about high-level crimes and you come to a police officer in Italy and say, you know, my truffle dog has been stolen, it's not their top priority. They view it as sort of like a silly or trivial thing that's not worth the investigation. But yeah, I think it is.
Also, I mean, just not only the animals' lives, it's very, very serious. But when you start talking about the money, if you'd gone and said somebody took $4,000 with the diamonds, they'd pay attention.
Right.
There's some weird disconnect there.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's always been this sort of secretive trade. So even one of the problems is not just on the authorities' side. People within the business do not report when their dogs get poisoned. There's sort of like this insular, secretive world where the truffle hunters deal with problems themselves. They, you know, they might say something to someone at the bar after work, but they try to keep it within their community. And I actually asked a veterinarian, like, would you like to see changes in the business? Would you like to see more accountability, regulation, all that? And he says, no, that's the special part of the truffle business. And I was like, wait, but you treat so many poisoned dogs. He's like, oh yeah, the poisoned dog part, I don't want that to continue. But everything else, the sort of shadiness and secrecy, he's like, that's part of the culture of truffles.
Well, you have ruffled some truffle feathers. We'll be very delicate about this, that you reported on this. You're an investigative journalist, and someone has given you a cease and desist letter. They don't want what you've written out there.
Yes. There are people that's, you know, that don't want this story told. There's a lot of money in the business, and there's a significant amount of sort of fraud. And I think just part of this book is just raising consumer awareness about what's on our plates. And I think that's a really important thing to know when you go to a restaurant or you go to the grocery store. You should know what you're eating. And I've tried to do my best to push that story forward.
Because there are fraudulent truffles out there.
Yes. Basically, there's two kinds of fraud. There's species fraud, and then there's sort of geographical grift. So the most prized truffles are from Piemonte, the Piemonte region in Italy. And you might have a truffle that's actually purchased in Slovenia or Hungary and then sold as an Italian truffle. And it's not Italian, and it's not the sort of same terroir, but it's much more expensive to buy an Italian truffle than it is to buy an Eastern European truffle, but you would never know in some cases. And then the species fraud, you have a completely different kind of truffle that grows in China that looks just like a black winter truffle.
If you want to know more and you want to educate yourself about truffles, you should read Ryan's book, The Truffle Underground, A Tale of Mystery, Mayhem, and Manipulation in the Shadowy Market of the World's Most Expensive Fungus. Good luck with that.
Thank you
so much. Cease and desist. Go get his book while you can. This is All of It on WNYC. Name of the book is The Truffle Underground.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.